ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
To write for us, otherwise on Tuesday there may be some mistake. Maybe we should put the right verse on the board, because the one who will give class on Tuesday might be confused.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, chapter 8, which is entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj, text number 19. Nimlochati ha bhagavan sakala jagat kshemodayas trai atmatyapi mamana mrigavadunyasa agachati. Word for word, please repeat. Nimlochati sets ha alas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, represented as the sun. Sakala Jagat, of all the universe, Kshema Uddaya, who increases the auspiciousness. Trayatma, who consists of the three Vedas. Atya api, until now. Mama, my. Na, not. Mrigavadu nyasa, this baby deer entrusted to me by its mother. Agachati, has come back. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspiciousness, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. That sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not returned. Please repeat. Alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. The sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not returned. In the Brahma Samhita 5.52, the sun is described as the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yak chakshuresha savita sakala grahanam
Raja samasta sura murti rasesha teja yashagaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govindam adipurusham tam aham bhajami.
As the sun arises, one should chant the Vedic mantra, beginning with the Gayatri. The sun is the symbolic representation of the eyes of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Bharat lamented that although the sun was going to set due to the poor animal's absence, he could not find anything auspicious. Bharat Maharaj considered himself most unfortunate, for due to the animal's absence, there was nothing auspicious for him in the presence of the sun.
Om Agam Tumarandasyanam Samakam Shakshuram Mulitam Yena Tasmah Shigurave Namah Namo Vishnu Daya Krishna Shtantam Shumate Satsaru Vatska Samite Namne Namo Vishnu Daya Krishna Pashtaya Vatadam Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Samite Namne Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravaya Pichayini Nirvishesa Sanyavadi Pashyacha Desatarine.
So here we are in the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, who is actually coming from a very exalted family of kings. And saintly personalities. Even his grandfather, he was so exalted that when he prayed to get a son, he wanted to have a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he did yagyas very sincerely with many brahmanas, and their performance was so devotional and so pleasing to the Lord that Lord Vishnu himself came present in the yagya, manifested there, and he told the Maharaj Nabi that he would appear in his family as a son. And so soon after, the Lord manifested himself in his family, took birth in his family, and the Lord, because being the Lord was so attractive and so exalted and so special, that he called him Rishabha, which means the best, the supreme. And so Rishabhdev, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And although he grew up according to the standard Vaishnava principles, he went to the Gurukul and surrendered to his spiritual master, who then told him to marry. And then in his Rishabhdev, in his marriage, she got married with a girl which was arranged by Lord Indra. She was a girl from heaven, from the heavenly kingdom. And then he got with her 100 sons. And he was very exemplary as a king, but also as a father. He instructed all his sons about the importance of life. To manage the kingdom was one thing, but the most important thing is to the principle of devotional service of principle of Bhagavad Dharma, which was taught by Lord Rishabhdev, that the religious principles of devotional service are superior to the principle of getting liberation. And also, the goal of life is not to mitigate material miseries. The goal of life is not liberation. The goal of life is not to mitigate material miseries, to take away material miseries. The goal of life is Bhagavad Dharma, is the eternal religion. Sanatan Dharma is devotional service. So, and he advised, Lord Rishabhdev, he advised that those who are still attached to sense gratification, that they should follow a saintly person and take guidance from that saintly person, serve him, follow him like a guru, and in this way one would be able to cross the ocean of material nature, the ocean of material desires, by such saintly guidance. So then, Lord Rishabhdev, he then also instructed his sons to follow their oldest son, Maharaj Bharat, because Maharaj Bharat, as the first of the 100 sons, he and being advanced in spiritual knowledge and in devotional service, he asked the other brothers to follow him, to serve him, to work under him, cooperate with him, and then Lord Rishabhdev, he himself left the planet. Once when he was traveling, he entered into a forest fire, and that was the end of his appearance on the Earth planet. And then Bharat Maharaj took over the kingdom, and he was also very being taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He was also very exemplary in his in his performance of his service. He became the king of the whole world, and that's why also Bharat, the name for, sometimes it's used for India, sometimes it's used for the whole world, but definitely for India. Bharatvarsha is the outstanding kingdom that comes from his name. That name is still used nowadays. Bharat and Bharatvarsha is still used
now, and that comes from the time that Bharat Maharaj was ruling this planet. Then he himself also, on the advice of Rishabdev, married, and he got 5 sons. So then, after his lifetime of exemplary ruling the kingdom, he withdrew himself. He went to Hardwar, and where he started to live very, very simple life, depending on the Lord's mercy, simply living in the forest, eating fruits and vegetables from the forest, and everything done in a devotional mood, with his devotion to Lord Vasudev. And and this was going very nice towards soon, towards the last phase of his life. But then something, by providence, there happened to be a deer who was drinking water from the river, and that deer was highly pregnant, and while it was drinking from the river, it heard the roaring of a lion. So deers and lions, they don't go well together or peacefully together, unless in Lord Caitanya's pastime. That's the only place where they go well together. They both chant in the forest of Jharikhanda. But otherwise, in nature, a deer and a lion, the lion sees the deer as a lunch party. So then the deer naturally was very very afraid of this roaring, and it was also quite close. So the deer, without much thinking, jumped into the river so that it would be in a safe place, because I guess lions, they don't swim. So the lion would not go behind. But then by this panic reaction of the deer that was highly pregnant, it lost the baby deer, and that was there in the water helplessly. So then Bharat Maharaj, Sri Prabhupada explains that naturally saintly persons, they are naturally kind to everybody. They are kind to other human beings, but they are also kind to animals, to all the living entities, because they have this spiritual understanding. So then naturally Bharat Maharaj was kind to the deer. And then he started to take care of the deer, because the deer, the mother, went across the river, and then she dived into kind of a hole, a ravine or something, and it was both from the shock of falling down and from the shock of losing its baby deer, it left the body. So then Bharat Maharaj, he affectionately started to take care of that baby deer, of that doe. Call it doe? Doe? Doe. Small deer. So then but now it went further than just than just taking care of the deer, because Bharat Maharaj also started to develop affection. He started to serve the deer, he started to play with the deer, he started to sleep with the deer. Sometimes the deer, when he was sleeping, was lying on his chest. It started to feed the deer. So all kinds of services he was doing. Whenever the deer was a moment not around and he was doing some prayers to the Lord, then his mind was disturbed. He was bewildered. Where is the deer now? And so his devotional service to the Lord started to diminish, because he was day and night, after some time, day and night, he was busy with the deer. He was in anxiety for the deer, he had affection for the deer, he was hugging the deer, he was kissing the deer. So all his good qualities, or the qualities of the mind, intelligence, activities, he started to use everything in the service of the deer. So then the deer became his lord, so to speak. And that, of course, we can wonder why is this, that such an advanced devotee, the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why, does he become entangled in such a material activity? Because if it would be a human being, then it would be more easy to understand, because the human being, he could bring him to Krishna. But a deer in a deer body is of course more difficult to bring to Krishna or to train in devotional service, because it's in an animal body, so the covering is much stronger. But some or other, Bharat Maharaj allowed himself to become so entangled, and that there is no way out anymore. He is not anymore engaged in devotional service. He some or other, within weeks or months, I don't know exactly how long that period was, he gradually diminished his devotional service to the Lord, and he increased his service to the deer. And it was not just service, it was also attachment. And with attachment comes anxiety, because anxiety means we are attached, we are afraid to lose it. So when we are attached, then we are afraid that somebody takes away from us. And that's that's a very weak quality, because that puts us in a fearful condition, anxiety, fear. While in spiritual life we are supposed to be fearless. If you are depending, if you are able to depend on the Lord, then we become fearless. If we become attached, in this case to a deer, and we are afraid to lose the association of that deer, That is material attachment. And that's what is happening here. That's why the first word of this verse, he says, alas. Alas means too bad. Because at this particular moment, the deer is gone somewhere and he doesn't know where it is. So at this moment, he is in anxiety, he is alas. Now he says, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. But not for me, he says, because I'm in anxiety. The sun was not rising, the sun was setting, but just he speaks like that. That the sun is the eye of the Lord, and the sun is an auspicious presence. And that's why every day the sun rises is a new day. It can help us to remind that it's another day for Krishna, because the sun is the eye of the Lord, and he knows that theoretical aspect. But he says, for me, it's a sad. It has not begun for me, because I am bereft of all Vedic principles. That sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not returned. So he is full of anxiety about the deer that has not returned home. And Sri Prabhupada explains that principle of that the sun is the eye of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also explains that when the sun rises, then we should chant Vedic hymns, we should chant the Gayatri Mantra. Like we chant the Gayatri Mantra three times according to the position of the sun. One time when the sun comes up, then second time when the sun is at the highest point, and the third time when the sun is going under. Of course, in India, it's winter and summer are like only half an hour, 40 minutes difference or something between when the sun comes up in the summer or in the winter. It's practically no difference. For us, there is a lot of difference. 21st of June, the sun comes up at 4:30, Mongol Arctic time. And the 21st of December, the sun comes up at 9 o'clock. It's like 4.5 hours difference for us. So it's not always so practical to chant the Gayatri when the sun comes up. So sometimes we do it, some devotees do it after Mongol Arctic and then 4 hours before the sun comes up. In theory, that's the timings of the chanting the Gayatri Mantra are according to the position of the sun. Because the sun naturally, sun and moon, but sun plays an important role in our life. We know how it affects us. When the sun is not seen, then the day is not the same. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. And the summer, when the sun is there, you know, it's more life, more energy, more vitality is there, because the sun plays an important role on our activities. It plays an important role on the growing of the culture in the land, the vegetables, etc. Sun has an important effect like that.
So we see here Maharaj, Maharaj Bharat, who is in that sense mistaking. We have the verse in the in Bhagavad Gita, 1865, Mammana Bhava Madbhakta Matyach Mam Namaskuru. So Krishna says there, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer me your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you, because you are my very dear friend. So whatever Bharat Maharaj did to the deer, that's what we are supposed to do towards Krishna. We are supposed to always think of Krishna. And he was always thinking of the deer. We are supposed to serve Krishna unconditionally. He was serving the deer unconditionally. Whatever the deer needed, he was always there. And we are supposed to serve Krishna with affection, with feeling. So he was serving the deer with feeling, with affection. See, he was doing everything perfect according to that verse. Man mano bhava mad bhakta. Bhakto, mad bhakto. He was doing everything according to that verse that Krishna is saying. But, unfortunately, he moved from Krishna to a deer. That was the mistake. The big mistake. That's like the one in front of the zeros, as we say sometimes. Because he was very elevated. He was very high level of Krishna consciousness. And some or other, in this pastime, he allows. Sri Prabhupada also says at some point that Maharaj Bharat was doing it as an example how we should not do. Because we know that the mind can be easily deviated, persuaded to other things, even if we are for a long time focused on devotional service, still our mind can be carried away. So that's an important lesson we can learn from this pastime of Maharaj Bharat, that we should never think, you know, now I'm there, I don't need to be careful. We always need to be careful. We always need to be afraid of Maya. Because Maya illusion is very powerful. And even the mind of a saintly person can be carried away by illusory energy. So this is something we have to, as a lesson from this example, because we may not even be in such an exalted, by far not be in such an exalted position as Maharaj Bharat, and he allowed himself to be carried away. So what to speak of us who are still struggling with certain aspects of devotional service. So means we have to be much more careful, alert,
remain in the association of devotees, because he was in such an exalted level of Krishna consciousness, and then he left the kingdom to his sons. He entrusted them, empowered them with that power he gave them, and then he was going to renounce in order to prepare himself for leaving, so that without any attachment he would go back to Godhead. So this is a very nice and natural way of doing things, very Vedic way, very Krishna conscious way, to part life like that, to leave this body like that. It's very, very perfect way of doing it. But then, some or other, he allowed himself to be degraded, which now serves as a lesson to us how to avoid this type of situation. So I think I've covered the most points related to this purport. Maybe some comments, questions related to this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was an emperor of the whole world, so it's sure that he could he could have managed to save the deer and that the deer would be taken care of by somebody. I mean, that's in our case, yes. I mean, we should be kind to all living entities. But, you know, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he became attached to the deer. And that's where it went wrong. There is nothing wrong with taking the deer out of the water and feeding it and then make some arrangement that, you know, the deer can live his life and that, you know, and life goes on. In this particular pastime, it's the fact that, you know, that he
he embraced that he, you know, he started to love the deer. The deer was you know, was like his only son, and then, well, he had other sons. So, you know, he gave all his affection, all his devotion, he gave that to the deer. And it wasn't necessarily for the betterment of the deer. Because he went down in consciousness, so it wasn't, he helped the deer materially to further exist, but he couldn't elevate the deer spiritually in that sense. So to take care of the deer was, in our case, it would be, we would still take care of the deer, but we wouldn't need to become attached to the deer, and we wouldn't need to sleep with the deer and embrace the deer and kiss the deer and etc. etc. So that's. He could, but he decided to not do it. He decided to give his time to the and energy to the deer. That was his decision at that time. That I don't know exactly. Is it for displaying a pastime for us, or is it? That was his decision at that time. He was very conscious personality, very Krishna conscious personality. So, exactly I don't know, but he was, conscious of what he was doing. So. It was. He enrolled. He allowed himself to be enrolled in that. Why exactly? Besides showing a lesson to us, I don't know. I don't know if it is explained somewhere in this particular pastime. Yes. He was defined to be an advanced personality because he was asked by his father to lead the other sons in their devotional life. So, and we can also see from the further pastimes that Bharat Maharaj was an advanced personality. He was advanced in devotional service, so because that's why later he can come back to it so easily. That's another point. Whatever we have achieved as advancement in devotional service, we never lose that. So in his case also, that's why later he can come back to it and perfect. Perfect is life, and perfect is relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to say exactly at what spiritual level he was, I don't know. I don't know if that's mentioned. I don't think so. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Krishna consciousness is a process where we have to think, feel, and will to. And we have to use our thinking, feeling, willing in the service of the Lord. So when we see that our thinking, feeling, willing is going in the direction of some other relationship or some other attachment, then you know, then we are going in the wrong direction. Then we will diminish, because in order to become Krishna consciousness, we will have to put our feeling, our willing, our prayer, our activities, we will have to put them towards Krishna. So, as soon as we develop an attachment, we will diminish that our service to the Lord. So, and then it becomes unhealthy. I mean, we can help a deer, we can even help more living entities. That's what the devotees were, you know, are preaching, book distribution or direct preaching programs. They are also sticking out their neck. They are, you know, but they are there for helping, informing the people about Krishna and about Krishna consciousness. So that's fine. So helping the people is very much dear to the Lord. Is very much a devotional service, which the Lord is very happy that we are doing it. Of course, there are dangers by doing that, because in relationships, you know, they can be sensitive. We can also become attached. We start preaching to a person, and then we develop material attachment for that person. That's the risk which is there. But then we have to see that, because any attachment is not going to help us. It's going to be an obstacle in our devotional life. To prepare oneself to go back to Godhead means to become detached. Attachment is an opposing aspect of going back to Godhead, because it's an anchor to keep us here in the material world. So as soon as we detect that we become materially attached to a situation, a person, an animal, whatever, then we have to be very careful. We have to undo that. That's why association with devotees is so important. You see, Maharaj Bharat also, he was completely alone by himself in the forest. So, you know, he had nobody who could, you know, by saying something, you know, like have a wake-up call, you know. It wouldn't, for such a knowledgeable person, it wouldn't have been so difficult to make a wake-up statement. So, that's why when we are in the association of devotees and we develop some attachment, then devotees are going to sense that. And devotees are going to help us to overcome such an attachment. Yeah, we have to always remain alert. Maya is, you know, has hundreds and thousands of proposals. And for Maya, we are always young and vital. You know, even when we are 60 years old, Maya still comes with crazy proposals, you know, which normally are useless for devotional service. But, yeah, because Maya is whispers in the ear and, you know, and the mind somewhere gets attracted. So that's why we need this association, we need this spiritual program, and that, you know, protects us from being drifting away in our bubble. Because the mind can be very crazy. We all have some experience. So. The mind can easily convince us that we are so special, that we are such a hero. So easily convince us. We don't need to focus on our, you know, I'm attached to my prasadam plate. We don't need to focus on that. I mean, we have to make sure that our general consciousness is improving, that our quality of our chanting is improving, that the quality of our service is improving. And then these many small attachments, they will also ultimately, become smaller. So, but there are, you know, specific attachments which can come in our life, you know, which can be detrimental for our spiritual life. So we still have to keep an eye on them. The other things, we have to be aware that we are detached, but by developing our spiritual life, our sadhana, etc., then they will dwindle. But, you know, there are specific relationships and things where we have to be careful how we deal with these things. So. Because ultimately we have to become free from any attachment. Or live in such a way that we please Prabhupada and Krishna, and that when we leave our body, that they cut the last string, remaining strings. That's it. So we'll stop here. You wanted to say something? Material attachment, spiritual attachment. Sounds like a big topic. Yeah. And, you know, material attachment and spiritual attachment are different. Material attachment, you know, is pulling us down. Spiritual attachment is pulling us up. So, but then to, you know, to go further into that would, you know, would take some more discussion, I guess, some more reflection. So we'll keep that for another time. So Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai.